This is the M Zone.
Hey, and welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt the Hitman Mizzler. That's right, he's still teaching everybody. He knows how to do it. The best man in the Bizzler. And you got Boom Boom Matty Leach running back to his seat. That being said, 734-998-1050. What do you think about the top 25? Did the media get it right? I don't know if the media can ever get it right. But do you think the media got it right? Or do you still believe in the coaches' poll? Are you still old school, the coaches' poll? Or do you believe? I mean, if you put them side by side, they're not that real difference. I mean, you know, not really, except for getting a vote. Texas getting a number one vote. I mean,
everybody's still scratching their head on that one.
They're not that different, but they are that different because Texas got a number one vote, number one overall. That being said, what do you think about the top 25, AP top 25 vote? Was it closer that you thought? I mean, again, I'm going to say this, and there's a lot of hate on the Big Ten. I mean, Penn State's not in the top 25.
Iowa's the one I can't believe.
And, you know, this is a team. You do have Michigan State in the top 25. You do have Wisconsin in the top 25. You do have the Ohio State Buckeyes in the top 25. And you have Michigan in the top 25. Is that enough? I mean, what conference got oversold? Was it the SEC?
ACC.
Or was it the ACC? I was going to say, was it the ACC? I mean, look, as I said, I pointed out to Miz when Miz was going through, when I saw Wake Forest there, I'm like, well, did anybody take into account they lost a quarterback? I'm just saying. I hate to say that, but they did lose their quarterback. And
it's a pretty big piece of the puzzle.
Just saying. I mean, what do you guys think? What are you looking at? Who's in your top? And is the top four the top four? I still question Clemson. I'm sorry. I don't feel it. I'm not feeling that Clemson, that dominance and everything. And look, it's the quarterback position. I'll be honest with you. It's the quarterback position. They don't have – I don't think this quarterback is – he's not even close to what Trevor was. Not even close.
That's a great college player.
But he's not – I'm going to say this. He's not – he can't be as good as Trevor – Trevor's pinky finger. I mean, I'm sorry. This guy is not that good. Look, he may be good in other offenses. Maybe Davo needs to change up the offense. I mean, they don't have ATN. I get it. They did the running game, but the running game wasn't that bad. I mean, look, they did play some very hard games, and they did win 10 games. I mean, I'm just spitting fire, I guess, because they did win 10 games. And I mean, there's some seasons that we would have killed them, win 10 games, just to have a 10 season win.
But we would also feel pretty confident going into the following year, knowing we had a 10 win season and knowing they bring back the vast majority of that defense. That was one thing that I was reading about, that this might have been Brett Venables' best defense coming up this following year if he was still at Clemson. So I agree with you, Jamie. So much of them comes down to the quarterback position. If they can get good play out of DJ, I always butcher his last name. I don't know. I'm just going to call him DJ.
Yeah, just call him DJ. You Lou.
DJ. If they can get the DJ that we saw down at Notre Dame, was that 2 years ago when Trevor got hurt? Yeah. And they relied on him to win the game, and he was impressive. Then you saw last year, it was watching everybody wanted to see the coming out party in that Georgia game, and it was, okay, this Georgia defense might be one of the best defenses we've seen in college football in a while. We'll give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. But he was just not able to put it together here last year. So if they can get the quarterback that they had in that Notre Dame game 2 years ago, I think they are, I don't want to say clearly one of the top four teams, but I would put them in that number four spot. But if they get the quarterback that they had last year,
That's what I'm saying. Everything comes off of last year. For me, I can't put them in the top four right now. I'm sorry. And the whole Notre Dame thing, Notre Dame in the top five, I get what you're trying to do, media. I get what you're trying to do. You're trying to have a top 10 matchup in week one. That's what it is. It's Ohio State, Notre Dame in Columbus. You got number two versus number five. That's what you got. I get it. You got to have a big game week one. I get it. Week zero, who cares? Week one is where you need that big game. You need that big game. And you look around the country, there's where, hey, I know where game day is going to be. Probably one of your last ones, you know, we'll be reading it up on. You know, they'll be talking about the Big Ten, ESPN, the divorce, all of that. That's coming. It hasn't been announced yet. Just letting you all know. But it has been announced because obviously ESPN acknowledged it. The Big Ten hasn't acknowledged anything yet. They have not issued any statement. So we shall see. I still want to know if we're going to be on Apple because that's coming too. That's going to come too. Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Yep.
734-998-1050. What's up, Hadley?
Well, guys, glad to have you back for the next couple of days. Hope you had
Hadley. You know, Hadley, I knew you were going to call and say that. You know, there was a doubleheader yesterday, so we weren't on because of the Tigers.
No, I know. I know. That's why you weren't on.
Very okay, we do not care.
All right. Well, moving on to the AP poll, yeah, they should have included Iowa and Penn State, I think. They should have at least made the top 25. Michigan State was what you said, 16?
18.
Yep.
18? Yeah, that's about right for them. But yeah, they should have easily bet. So there were only four Big Ten teams. How many SEC teams made it in this one?
Six.
That's a lot. That is a lot. And how many did the ACC get?
They got five.
Wow.
That's about too many.
I think the coaches poll should have included at least two more teams and even us up with those other conferences and stuff. But so, Jamie, you're saying Clemson, you don't think, deserves the number two ranking. So
not the number two ranking. They're number three. They're number three behind Ohio State and the Elephant.
Yeah, you don't think they deserve number three. So who do you think should take their place, Notre Dame or who?
No, senor! I mean, you're saying Notre Dame. I didn't say Notre Dame. I mean, look. No. Hadley, it's the beginning of the season. I don't care who you put up there. I mean, you could have put Utah up there. I don't care. It's going to come down to the games. The game's got to be played. Somebody's going to get beat. So it's the beginning of the season. Wait a minute. After October, really the AP and the coaches poll don't really matter anymore, do they?
Right. Do you think Michigan's ranked fine in the media poll?
Yes.
Or do you think they should have been number six?
I think Michigan in the top 10 is a good choice. I think they're right where they should be.
Yeah, but I mean, in the other poll, they were ranked sixth, I believe, right?
They're right in their sweet zone, as I said. They're in the sweet zone.
Mm. Right. Okay, well, hey, Boom Boom, I meant to mention this to you, but you were out the one day. But did you, and you guys too, did you guys get a chance to watch the Lou Whitaker ceremony?
I did. Miz made me watch it, or he told me, he reminded me of it.
Yeah, I was able to catch that. I thought that they did a great job. I didn't attend the game, but saw the ceremony. I thought they did a great job of honoring him. It seemed like it was a capacity crowd, which obviously he is deservedly so. And best middle infield of all time. I'll still argue it. Him and Tram. It was great seeing those guys up there together. And long overdue. And I know part of it, we've been delayed a few years because I think the first time this was supposed to happen was if not last year, it was 2020. So we've been waiting for this one for a few years, but I think well-deserved and long overdue for our guy, Sweet Lou.
And how many times has, if you know, how many has Lou been nominated for the Hall of Fame yet?
I know he's been up there. Miz would know maybe a little bit better than I would. Miz, you know what his Hall of Fame stature or what the what his hubbub has been around that Hall of Fame?
Oh, with Sweet Lou, I know he's been up for the vote on multiple occasions, but the last I remember was that his eligibility had expired, that he ran out of the attempts to actually get into the Hall of Fame. But I think there is still another way around where he can get in, and I think it's more, on the aspect of like getting the votes from committee members, I believe. So he has to, as I look this up, so the last time he was up was back in 2019, and he has to be voted in on the Modern Era Committee ballot. Last time around, he received votes from 6 of the 16 committee members, and he needs 12 of those 16 to get in. So I believe he's still up for it as far as the modern day, but he's got to get at least 12 votes in before he can actually get into the Hall of Fame that way. And again, I'm going to keep pounding the table until someone finally does it, because that man deserved it, considering that. I think it was Ken that called up last week or a week and a half or a week and change ago that said that that Sweet Lou and Trams were the highest efficient, they've turned the most double plays of all time, well over 1,000. So come on now. At this point, this guy, the accolades that he had after you had the We Are Farmers guy that did the commentary that led into it, Rookie of the Year, 4 Silver Sluggers. 3 gold gloves, world championship, has the Major League Baseball record with his shortstop partner for most double plays turned. His first career home run was a walk-off at Tiger Stadium. His second was a 3-run inside the park home run. Now, obviously, those two stats right there don't mean squat, but the fact of the matter that he has so many different accolades, stayed with the same team his entire career, and hasn't gotten into the Hall of Fame when you've got people that have done far less than him that are in, my goodness, you need to get Lou Whitaker in the damn Hall of Fame. I'll force him in if I have to. I'll kick some doors down and do what I have to do, but damn it, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
I know. If Trammell can make it in, he should make it in. They were together for 19 years, and I think that's the longest duel of shortstop second baseman in baseball. So it's puzzling why he hasn't made it in. But I'm sure after this, with this ceremony and everything, maybe the committees and everything will look into it more seriously now. And just real quick, Jamie, I know this is kind of off topic, and I'll just make it real quick. Did you any of you guys hear about the tweet that Antonio Brown did? And what
I did not hear about his tweet. What did he do now?
No, he was just saying, basically he was paraphrasing here. He was saying it's too bad, with all the stuff I've done, it's too bad I couldn't watch myself live. He says, I know I can go back and watch myself later, but it's too bad I never could watch myself. And he says, said he compared that to watching the Beatles and watching Jesus perform at Red Rock.
I'll give you, Jamie, if you look on the screen, here's the exact tweet right here. The exact tweet.
I see.
My biggest regret in my career doesn't involve calling my GM a, I'm not going to say that, expletive. Or showing up to Raiders camp late in a hot air balloon with frozen feet, or throwing rocks at the UPS driver, and it definitely doesn't involve taking my shirt off and doing a victory lap around the Jets stadium mid-game while throwing up deuces. My biggest regret is that I'll never get to see me, Antonio Brown, play a game live, sure, I could watch the game afterwards, but I can't imagine what that was like for you all to see something like that, like watching the Beatles or Jesus perform at Red Rocks, end of quote. Now, I will say this, Hadley, that I don't know if you know this, but Antonio Brown's got a few screws loose. Secondly, all the spoof tweets that came afterwards as well, too, like the Oscar Mayer Wiener was like, my biggest regret in life is not being able to see myself, the Oscar Mayer Wiener, perform in front of each and every one of you. So, I mean, just all the spoof tweets that came afterwards. It just really proves not just the ego, but just how much of a, you know, how many screws loose he has.
I know. He's just definitely, he's never going to play a game again, and he's never going to go in the Hall of Fame. And if Rashidi is listening, I hope he admits to that.
Don't put it into the universe, Hadley. You put it in the universe. Hadley, why are you doing that?
Why?
All right. Sorry about that.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Well, we'll chat tomorrow then.
Thanks, Hadley. Talk to you later. 734-988-1050. What's up, Philly E?
I'll tell you what's up. My freaking blood pressure. Are you kidding me? Oklahoma number 10? That's insanity. First of all, they lost their quarterbacks. Both of those guys are gone. I think they're breaking in a transfer from Central Florida. Here's the thing. I never thought Venables did a good job as a defensive coordinator at Oklahoma. I don't remember them having very good defenses, and I think that was part of the reason why he was gone. Yeah, that was during the Stoops era. Now, obviously, he became a genius over there in Clemson, I guess because they were paying kids more money in Clemson. But that's not the point is, how's this guy now? He's going to go back there, and all of a sudden their defense is going to be fixed. I think they're finishing fourth. Fourth in their conference. So I don't see how they're going to be ranked 10 preseason. That makes no sense to me. What else did I want to say about that? Oh, the fact that they're joining the SEC in 5 years, they're going to be in 1990s purgatory all over again. It's going to be the same thing all over again because they won't be able to recruit Texas because Texas and Texas A&M are also in the SEC. So where are they really going to go for kids? I think they're screwed, blued, and tattooed. But there's no, let's face it, there's no integrity in this thing at all. We talked about the coaches' poll. We talked, you know, Steve, you go all the way back to Fat Phil putting us 7, you know, so Nebraska can get a share over a Heisman Trophy that his golden boy didn't deserve. But in general, it's too agenda-driven, especially with the coaches' poll. Even Klatt got on there. I can remember one of those Tuesday in October they come out with the Final Four poll. Anybody remember the name of it? You know, they come out on Tuesday night with the teams that they're going to put in the Final Four, and you can see, and Klatt got on TV the next day or a podcast, and you could see how all these second-tier SEC teams were ranked in the top, you know, like the top 15, top 20 to bolster the resume of the other, you know, the top tier SEC teams. It's so rigged. It's not, if there's no integrity at all. So, you know, all of a sudden now Tennessee's great, you know, so they have like 10, you know, I'm just using them as an example. I can't remember, but there was a lot of like, you know, middle of the road SEC teams ranked in like the top 15, top 20 to bolster the case for the upper tier of the SEC. It's a freaking joke, but that's the way it is. Sam was talking about who was the smacked ass that didn't even rank Michigan in the top 25. Who was that guy?
Oh, that's RJ Young or whatnot. And he basically going off of, I think he works for Fox Sports and he's going off.
Yeah,
of the,
he does.
Going
he
off
works for Fox Sports.
Yeah, I believe he's going off of the whole. Well, you can't really go based on of you know, postseason expectations from last year and how they look this year. Like, bro, shut up.
That's literally all we're doing. That is what a preseason poll is.
For Fox Sports.
Yeah,
he works for Fox Sports, and Michigan's not even ranked, right?
Yep, not even sniffing.
Yeah, he wouldn't even be working on the corner lemonade stand right now.
I had to do research to find out where this cat came from, like what university. I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's a Sparty. Yeah. Maybe he's a Buckeye. Maybe he's from Notre Dame. This cat went to Arizona.
Yeah, he's got a football factory, right?
Yeah, okay. Football factory. That's totally a football school. Just ask Arizona, totally.
There's no integrity with the freaking polls. It's a joke. Now, you guys were talking about defense earlier. I think they're going to be in the top 15. I really do. Like I said, it's going to look different this year. I think we're going to be better inside. Obviously, there's going to be some drop-off on the ends, but I think those kids will be able to play. And I think we're going to be better in the secondary. I know we lost some experience, but we got guys that have played coming back. And backers as well. I think the backers are going to be better this year. So it's going to look different. But the sacks obviously will be distributed a little more evenly than it was last year. But here's the thing. Sacks are not the be-all to end-all. Think back to OSU 2016. Think about Michigan State 2001. Now, those were two games where we were absolutely friggin' robbed. But besides the point, we had 8 sacks against OSU. I think we may even had 10 against that Clockgate game in 2001. I think we may have had like 10 sacks that game and still freaking lost. The game changer for me is it's not sacks. And maybe you guys will know, but this is one thing I cannot think off the top of my head. Turnovers. If we can just turn, I'd rather have that team that gets 3-4 turnovers a game, honestly. Because you know what? You sack a guy, guess what? The punter comes out, he still flips the field. Turnovers, man, it's a quick death. It just is. It's a quick death. So I'd rather have a team, if we could force turnovers this year, to me that is a much bigger game changer than sacks. At least that's how I'm looking at it. But you're right.
No, you're right. You got to disrupt the offenses of the teams that we play. We're going to have to get turnovers. I think if you can't sack the guy, if you can't get to the guy, you got to create turnovers somehow.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you. I can't remember the last Michigan team that was like, Jamie, by the way, before you got to Washington, in the early, those 82, 83 Redskins, oh, my God, they're plus minus. They were a plus, I don't know, 43 over a two-year. They were insane. And they didn't have a shutdown defense, and obviously it showed in the Super Bowl against the Raiders. But – boy, they just lived off the turnovers.
They won the year before, Philly. They did win the year before. They did beat the Miami Dolphins. They did beat
you. Got to remember,
Miami
the Redskins
Dolphins.
Won 2 strike seasons.
I'm just saying, Philly. You gonna take a slap at the Redskins real quick? And
they
I
got
did.
2 strike seasons. Hey, their strike team. They took Tony Robinson out of freaking jail, and he quarterbacked a win over Tony Dorsett and a bunch of Cowboys. Remember on a Monday night game?
I remember.
With the replacement dudes.
How you gonna take a slap at the Redskins on the second year? They were trying to go back to back. It's rare the teams go back to back. And
their 91 year was obviously legit. That team was off the hook. Oh, and by the way, somebody was bitching about the Hall of Fame. And I said this a couple years ago when I first met you guys. Come on, man. Wilbur Marshall, that's insane that man is not in the Hall of Fame. He is just one outstanding, versatile, badass football player. Just 91 Redskins and the 85
I agree,
Bears.
I agree what with you full-heartedly. I agree with you. Wilbur Marshall was a beast. And I'm talking Wilbur Marshall, Chicago Bear Wilbur Marshall. Before he went to the Redskins, before he left as a free agent.
Oh, no. When I think of him, I think of him returning that touchdown in the championship game against the Rams in the Flurries. Last point before I go. Listen, one thing that's flying under the radar about this football team, our special teams are absolutely special. It shouldn't be any different this year. You know, the kicking game, you know, and the fact that you got your boy Colasar, the kid Yeah, his kid, Monty Robbins' kid. I mean, I guess these are 85 kids, you know. But and Barrett and Henning and maybe Ronnie comes back. Who knows? But and of course Jay, you know, he learned his chops from his Uncle John. And the reason Uncle John got the job in Baltimore because he was an outstanding special teams coach right here in Philadelphia. But I'll tell you this. The one thing I can remember, the kicking game could make or break you because, man, when I think, you know, when we think of 1979, it was unheard of for a Michigan team in the Bo Schembech era to lose four games. Unheard of. Now, a lot of it had to do with the legend number seven moved on, right? And they had to replace him. That was a big deal. But the kicking game absolutely killed them in 1979. And if it wasn't such a disaster, maybe we only lose two games that year. And, you know, we're probably, you know, having a much better season instead of complaining about 1979. And, of course, the next year, your buddy Ali Haji Sheik got there, and Don Bracken was the punter. And, you know, obviously that, you know, the ship was righted in 1980. You already know the story about that team. But just saying, they're flying the – the special teams are flying under the radar right now, and I think it's going to be a difference maker when we play some of these big games. Anyway, boys, that's all I got. Talk to you all tomorrow. Go Blue.
Thanks, Philly. I appreciate it. Let's go. We'll go to a break. Or you want to take – yeah. Okay. No. Well, we'll take Ken. What's up, Ken? How you doing?
Hey, Jamie. How was your vacation, my friend?
So far, so good, Ken. So far, so good. Phase one is over.
Was the weather good up north?
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. Even though it rained, we had a great time. CJ had a wonderful time, trust me.
Beautiful, beautiful. That's what I want to hear. But, hey, I hear you guys were talking about Lou there a minute ago, and Mr. Misler was throwing out some of his stats, and there was another one I heard on the television show that Sweet Lou is seventh in all-time history in walk-off hits also.
Really?
I didn't think he was that high.
God, he's high. I mean, come on, man. Why is Lou getting dogged out, not getting into – I mean, look, there's some – I look, there's some guys in the Hall of Fame that I would say, uh-uh. I'm sorry, uh-uh.
He him and Trammell should have went as a duel as they were on the field. They should have went in together for sure. But, hey, I just heard ESPN come out with the newest award. It's called the Jackass of the Decade, and it was awarded to Antonio Brown. So good going there, buddy.
See, he's making it. Who brought this up? Hadley. Thanks, Hadley.
He's certainly making an argument for that top three, at least, Ken.
Oh, my goodness. I've
never heard a football player say, boy, I wish I could watch me live. hey, don't nobody get a safety pin or something sharp around him. He might pop and blow 10 miles away.
You can't. I'm just saying. It's interesting. The whole thing is interesting. I just have to say that it's an interesting. It's interesting that he would say that. It's interesting that, you know, people would. I mean, that I can't believe he would say that. But I mean, nobody's lying on him.
I liken him to the Beatles arriving in America. You know, that's pretty close.
No. I mean, you have to, because I mean, he is that quintessential guy, you know.
Yeah. In his mind, he is. Yes, in his mind, he is.
Oh my God! There's always one. There's one. There's always one. As Bo Schembechler would say, there's always one. Yep, always one that you know. There's one ham and egg out there.
Yeah, and his egg got overdone. It got flipped. It wasn't over easy no more either. But
exactly.
I know we're close to football, guys, and I just cannot wait. But I heard a story the other day about Babe Ruth that made me realize, and I've always thought he was, but he is the greatest baseball player that's ever lived. When he was with Boston, for 5 years. He won three World Series with Boston as a pitcher and as a player. But then they traded him to the Yankees, and guess what? Boston went 87 years before they seen the World Series again after trading the Babe. But
hey, the
Bambino.
Well, at least they want to say that. I mean, maybe Boston just wasn't good enough. I'm sorry. Yeah. I watched, you know what? I watched that captain show of of what's his name?
Jeter?
Baseball player. Yeah, Jeter. I watched that. I watched all six of those episodes. Okay, I watched them all because my friends were testing me because I said I'm not watching that crap. But I did watch it. I was inspired by him. He's a decent guy. I got to give it to him. I actually enjoyed watching him and what the things that he went through. Hey, I'm gonna say this: if you can make it in New York and not melt down, and what he did, and he may not have been the best player or the greatest player, but he got the guys around them to play. That's all it takes. And everybody gave him slack. I mean, you had jealousies coming at him left and right, and he kept the boat going straight. They just kept winning, and you got to appreciate that. So, I mean, I think there was a lot of fake people around him, and so good for him. I have a lot more respect for him.
Well, and that's the mark of a champion too, Jamie. But now here's the two myths that have always been talked about Ruth was how he told a kid who was sick that, hey, I'm going to hit a homer for you in the next game. Well, that myth was actually proven by a kid named Johnny, who actually produced a baseball that Babe Ruth had signed. I will hit a homer this Wednesday for you, Johnny. And by God, and it was the 26th World Series that he said that. Well, that next, the game that he was talking about, he didn't hit one. He hit three homers in that game.
Oh my God, and the kid
has literally got the baseball to prove that Ruth said that in before the game even was played. He signed it, said, I'll hit a homer in the next game for you. But then you got the 32 World Series in Chicago with the Cubs, and Babe Ruth is up, and there's him and this pitcher don't like each other. And I don't know what was happening between the mound and the home plate, but Ruth between pitches stopped, got out of the batter's box and pointed at the pitcher. And the next pitch, everybody said he was pointing to where he was going to hit a homer, but it was either at the pitch or center field. The very next pitch, he hit to center field for a home run, and it's still the longest ball that's ever been hit in Wrigley Field.
Wow. Okay. Look at you dropping knowledge like that.
Well, I heard it on a radio show the other night. I heard it on one of my radio shows I like to listen to. But that was something I never knew. I thought them were always missed. But, no, he pointed and he said, you watch, throw that next one in here, pal, and I'll show you where I'm going to put it. And it's the longest ball ever hit at Wrigley Field still to this day.
You sure he wasn't pointing at him? I'm going to put that ball right up, you know.
Maybe he's trying to drive it where the sun don't shine. Who knows?
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I was thinking, but okay.
I think he got his point across. So anyways, so guys, I'm going to let you go so you can talk to some more people. We're less than 3 weeks from Big Blue Football. So go Blue, baby. Go Blue.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it. We got to go to a break, Rodney. Hold on. You'll come on. You'll be the first one on. You better have something interesting to say. I'm going to tell you that, Rodney. It's been a while. We're talking to you're listening to the M Zone, the premier show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.